Hey, so everybody knows that it's Memorial Day weekend, and I'm sure you've got a lot of plans and everything mapped out for the weekend. If nothing else, it's going to be the rest of the day off and then the day off tomorrow and everything, but it's just a great opportunity, one of those fabulous weekends where there's a lot of tradition involved, but a lot of just opportunity. An opportunity to remind ourselves that we live in a great, great country. I mean, I love America. I know you love America. It's easy to say right here in Oklahoma, but it's the truth. We really, really do. There's not a whole lot of fight. There's not a whole lot of controversy in saying that. We have the permission and probably the welcome in our community and in our state to say something like that. That's not true everywhere. But I do. I love America. I love the way of life that we have. I love the freedom that we have. And although there's a lot wrong with America, there's a whole lot that's right too. Sometimes we just have to remind ourselves that things can look pretty bad, but you got to look at the whole picture. And remember that God's a part of that, and there may be some things that aren't great, but there's also a lot of things that are good, and we need to always focus on those things. It was Pastor Melvin Newland who said this about Memorial Day. He said, spanning the globe, the blood of American soldiers have been permanently mingled with the soil of four continents and hundreds of islands. And Memorial Day is our attempt to remember and say thank you to those who gave their best and they gave their all that we might continue to enjoy the liberties that are ours. Feeble as it may be, we will not relinquish this day to just the common practices of a holiday. It shall forever be our tribute to the brave men and women who sacrificed greatly to give this land the freedoms of the home of the brave. That's a powerful picture, and sometimes those words just need to keep coming back to us to remind us of things that are just a part of the calendar if we're not careful. You know, Debbie and I had this discussion not too long ago, and that is that, you know, it's really neat. We've noticed some people just really make this big, big deal out of birthdays. And we started realizing, you know what, our family needs to do that. We need to throw big birthdays, especially if it's my birthday. We need to throw a big fit, you know, because we don't do that enough for me. Well, you know how it feels personally. How cool is it that we adopt that generally? And that's what we need to do. Well, let me remind you some things. First of all, America was settled by people looking for religious freedom. It's hard to believe that this all started because people were looking for religious freedom instead of exercising their religious freedoms. The second thing is our founding fathers had a strong desire to please God and do His will. Does that sound anything like what our America really is today? That they had a strong desire to please God, find His will. We're really more self-concerned and self-centered than we are godly-centered. This great country was founded by men and women who acknowledged God's supreme authority and rule over man and nation. There's a really crazy phrase out there. Acknowledges God's supreme authority. It seems everybody's opinion is the best opinion, but we have to go back to what God is. That's what this country was founded on. Number four, our American government is patterned and based on biblical principles. How cool is that? Sometimes we have changed all of that. Now, I don't know if you've had this conflict, but I remember growing up in school and everything. They introduced this stuff. It was called the metric system. And they started throwing this stuff in there. And they said, oh, this will be easier because it's all about 10s versus 12s or whatever. I'm going, can you just give me what I'm used to here? That's what I really, really, really want. And you know what? America would be really cool if it would just kind of stay to what it's used to and what it was founded on instead of all of the variations that we get today. The fifth thing is the law of this land guarantees the freedom to practice and proclaim our faith. Even the faith that we don't agree with. Even the lifestyles we don't agree with. Even the people who would be opposed to the flag and several different things. I can't tell you how cool it is. Although it seems a little bit of a conflict in my own heart, for somebody to talk about, you know what? I bled a little bit. I sacrificed a whole lot. And there's some others that didn't even come back so that people would have the right to have their opinion. That's amazing. What a wonderful sacrifice and what a tremendous pledge to defending our Constitution and the great ways of this land. Well, Memorial Day started actually back in 1865. Shortly after the Civil War ended, there were a group of ladies in Vicksburg, Mississippi, who wanted to decorate all of the graves of those that had passed away during the war. So after several petitions, they were granted by the War Department to do so with one provision. You could do it, but you cannot have any flowers on the Confederate side of the cemetery. There's a certain section in Arlington National Cemetery where that's true. That's where the Confederate soldiers of that day were buried. Well, James Garfield, who eventually ended up being the president, was designated as the speaker, and he spoke. And you know, the cool thing is that as the days went by and as years came by, it was known as Decoration Day. And in 1868, they had this particular ceremony, 3 years removed from their original one. And at the end of all the ceremony, everybody was dismissed, and then a strong wind blew up and blew literally almost all the flowers from the Union side over to the Confederate side where they belonged in the first place. Sorry. I know that's not funny. Let me get back to the history, okay? So anyway, it blew away. And you know what? They saw it as a strong indication that, you know what? God's not really pleased with this separation thing. So from that year on, it was never separated. They put flowers on everybody's grave. And what a powerful thing that happens. So now we call it Memorial Day. It is a day to honor the fallen of our nation's war. And if you'll notice on TV, I just love how they bring all of the patriotic and the war movies and the different things that have come out. I watched the Green Berets last night. That movie Fury was on when I went to bed. And all day tomorrow, there'll be things like that. Our whole nation adjusts to the fact that it's Memorial Day and there's something that we should be doing here. It's a time when we pause to remember those who have sacrificed so much and the freedoms that we enjoy. You know what? This is a time when it's okay to be patriotic. You know, my flag that is out in the middle of my yard, my flagpole, I should say, it's been broken, the brackets or whatever, you know, and I made a special attempt to go to Home Depot tomorrow just to buy some clasps, not tomorrow, yesterday, to buy the clasps just so that I could make sure that my flag was up today. Well, listen, anybody can fly a flag, but I love it when you see pictures of parades and stuff and you see the little kids with the little flags and they're just waving it and they're just caught up in all everything. Isn't it neat that their lives have not been tainted by opinion and attitude and experience? And what they see is something pure and holy, if you will. They exaggerate on that and they exercise that right. We owe all of them, don't we? Those that have served, because we have to realize that we don't have what we have today without their sacrifice. There's three things we do on Memorial Day. Number one is we mourn the loss. I never had a relative that I know of that died in a war. My dad came home from World War II, my grandfather, all of those things. But many of you don't have that same story. If nothing else, there's a distant aunt or an uncle or there's a grandpa or somebody that there's a history there and their lives were shortened because of this. So we mourn that loss. But we also remember the lives. Isn't it exciting? You know, I don't know that I can say this correctly, but every single person who has served, whether they dodged bullets or whether they loaded cargo onto the ships or whether they made sure that the plane stayed in the air, didn't matter what happened. Maybe they were deep underneath the ocean in a submarine. Every one of those people, they have a story, and there's photographs, and there's experiences, and there's children, there's relationships, there's a mom, and there's a dad, and there's memories, and God forbid that those just be shoved aside because there's a lot of numbers. You realize in the Vietnam War alone, we lost over 58,000 personnel. 58,000. That number alone can just overwhelm you to where, you know, it's just a mention. But every one of those souls had a story. It had a life. It had a family. It had a person. And thank God many of them are still here, but many of them obviously are not. And the last thing is we're to understand that we're to be thankful for their sacrifice. Thankful. There ought to be something in the midst of this American heritage that we have that's not only just associated with God, but also associated with our history, and that we realize that this was a great, great opportunity to recognize and be thankful for the sacrifice. I've often heard, and you have too, you know what? The best thing to do, not the best thing I should say, but often the best thing that could happen to you is to lose something because you all of a sudden realize how much you love it. Hopefully we can be a little more structured and a little more mature and understand how we love it so much and I don't want to ever lose it, because that's the way it really ought to be, that we recognize and we love it and appreciate it now. And so you know what? I know that you may have a picture or an image or a person, and I would like to do what we used to do when I grew up. We used to observe publicly in school, stadiums, auditoriums, at speeches, we would observe a moment of silence. Everything would just come to a calm still so that people could just reflect on that moment, so that they could take the thoughts and the memories that they have associated with that moment and just give it the due diligence, the honor and respect that it deserves. Will you join me in that moment of silence? Thank you. Now, the author of Hebrews, the Bible is not exempt on all this. The Bible tells us about the Hebrews that they calls to remember us, to cause to be remembered, that we're surrounded by this cloud of witnesses. If you've ever read Hebrews, the 12th chapter, verse number 1, it talks about this cloud of witnesses. And this is what it says. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that is so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. In a moment like this, when we look back, remember, and we mourn, and we're thankful for all of these gifts, it's not to hold us back, it's to set us forward. It's to release us so that we can be a better nation, we can be better people, mainly especially because it's associated with Christ. And what is he talking about? That word therefore talks about all the people that have been previously talked about. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, which is the faith chapter of the New Testament. It's this incredible, you know, archive of all of these people that did these incredible things in the Old Testament, these heroes of the faith, if you will. Listen to some of these names: Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, Rahab. These are the people we're talking about. Man, many of you, it's cool, we get the correlation not only to the biblical reference, but also the people that we may not even know them. They may be our next door neighbor. They may be somebody down the street that you've never really met. You don't even know their name, but you don't know their story. But they just deserve that silent recognition today, because that's what we do on Memorial Day. We honor things that we don't even know about. We honor a story that isn't even complete or been told, because that life is valuable. And that's what he's talking about here. In Hebrews 11, chapter verse 32, it says this: I don't have time to tell about Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, about David, Samuel, and the prophets. He goes on to say this: who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fiery flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead and raised to life again. I love to hear the victories that come out of the conquest, out of the problems, the challenges, the wars, if you will, that we have fought. How that we've overcome incredible odds. Men found strength that they didn't have. Women, courage beyond their abilities. It's amazing how these things go. And this is what this is talking about. But then it turns the corner and says this: but there were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes of the ground. You know, see, not every story has this wonderful climactic title on it. Can you imagine, of all the people that we've been talking about, all these stories that we don't know, the people who probably did something incredibly sacrificial, but we'll never know it. They died on the battlefield. Their friends probably benefited from their sacrifice, but we'll never know it. This is what this is talking about. These people who've gone before us, these faithful people who lived out the life for Christ, even to the ability for us to look back and be inspired by these lives. Listen, I don't have enough ability. I am not gifted enough with my ability to speak to stir you today to be emotional about what this moment is, not only with Christ, but also with our nation. I'm not here, this isn't a political rally to stir you up and to try to get you fired up, but it is a moment when we get to reflect on what is important, because so often we lose what is important. We forget the important because of the urgent. The moment is there. And something is always clamoring for our attention and takes us somewhere else. And God forbid that we forget. These are great people, weren't they? And did you see the variety? You didn't know what all of those people did, but a tremendous variety. Just ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Now, I don't know if you'll have a debate, or I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, but you know what? God seems to make a habit of doing the impossible with people just like you and me. Now listen, I realize that's a hard pill to swallow, because, you know, we really try to stretch the humility factor there. Or we don't really think that we're that great. But can I just tell you, you know what it really takes to make a difference in this world? It makes a big difference to just realize that it's not what we do for ourselves, but it's what we do for somebody else. If we're going to honor these people and we look back on their sacrifices, it doesn't matter how it happened. It doesn't matter what the circumstances were. It doesn't matter if it was in the air or on the ocean. It doesn't matter if it was on the battlefield. Well, we do have to understand this was an incredible sacrifice, worthy of remembrance, so that they'll never be forgotten. They may never be mentioned. Don't you love that picture of the soldiers who guard the tomb in up in Washington, D.C.? The tomb of the what? Who was that? The unknown soldier. This person, this arbitrary person whose life is critical. It's an absolute necessity that we remember that person, but we don't know their story. We don't know their name. We don't know if their remains ever came home. Was there ever a formal funeral? We don't know. But we understand it's worthy. Realizing it or not, you can do something for everybody if you realize that doing something more for somebody else is more important than doing something for yourself. That's called making an impact. Steve Green wrote the song, Find Us Faithful, and he put it this way. May all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. We are surrounded by this incredible cloud of witnesses. And whether you want to take that to a heavenly extreme and think that there are people up there watching us, and to what degree, what the report is, or if it's just somebody that's sitting in the same pew with you, guess what? They're taking notes. They're taking notes. I know, you know, we all have dreams. We all have these thoughts. But you know what? When I start thinking about my grandkids, I think of my wallet. That's because I'm not dead and gone yet. Dear God, they're killing me. I got junk I keep putting in my backyard, and I'm going, I can't afford this stuff. But I don't care. I just keep buying stuff for them. It's awesome. But when I'm dead and gone, I want them to go, wow, Poppy was pretty awesome, and all this other stuff. And right now, a sad thing is all, yeah, he bought us stuff. My granddaughter, Mabry Ellen, the other day, she wanted to go outside, and I said, well, your mama said no. She goes, Poppy, that's the first time you ever said no to me. I go, yeah, but remember, I was just telling you what your mama said. I'm not going to be the bad guy. No, I'm going to ruin her to death and blame somebody else. That's what's going to happen. And you know exactly how that goes. We're surrounded by all these people, and it's important how we process that as we go forward. Brother Owens is over here. He was the fifth of all of the pastors who had pastored this church since 1937. I'm the sixth. Were the guys that went before both of us. You know what? I would like to think that somehow they're watching, and they watched the 20 years that he put into this church, and they watched the years that I put into this church, and they're watching. Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to stand for what's right? Are you going to do the right thing? Will the people who follow you, will they be able to do the right thing because they found you faithful? You see, now it comes 360 degrees back to who we are going to be and not just all these other things. We're the recipients of this faith and the sacrifices of people, multitudes, not only just because of Memorial Day through war, but also those who died because of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what they did? They blazed a trail before us. And God forbid that we ignore the trail. And God forbid that we just see their sacrifices as just ridiculousness or old-fashionedness or just the way that they do, but that we understand in there is a pound of foundation that we need to act on And if you're looking for direction, if you're looking for a reason to remain faithful, let me take you to Psalm 71. Since my youth, O God, you have taught me, and to this day I declare your marvelous deeds. Even when I am old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Till I declare your power to the next generation. Let me tell you what, we all have a job. We all have a responsibility. And on Memorial Day, as we pick up the banner of remembrance and we honor these people, whether we knew them or not, because it's a national holiday for all the right reasons, God forbid that we not do the same thing with our faith to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will blaze a trail, that we will cause those who come behind us to find us faithful, that we will do, as he said, declare your power to the next generation. May all who come behind us find us faithful, and may we honor the faithfulness of those who have gone before us.
Today we bow our heads. It's not an easy day, because today we remember. We focus our memory on those who served our great nation. Today we set aside our differences and remember those who gave their lives for freedom. We remember the brothers and sisters who fought on our behalf while their brothers and sisters prayed for their safe return. We remember the sons and daughters who carried the flag of democracy while their parents placed flags on their lapels and front porches. We remember the dads and moms who stood watch at the door of war while their children stood watch at home. We remember the husbands and wives who carried the weight of war while their spouses carried the burden of an empty seat at the dinner table. Each one our brother, each one our sister, each one our son, each one our daughter. We remember their honor, sacrifice, and courage. We remember that they paid the ultimate price for our freedom. Today we kneel and remember. With compassion and love, we turn our memory to the lives of those who served on our behalf. We honor those who've fallen in service. And we remember the words of Jesus. No one has greater love than this, that one lays down their life for their friends. John 15:13.
So today, as we conclude our service, we would like to invite all of you to participate in communion with us. If you're not a member of our church, you are awesome. You're, of course, welcome to participate. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ with all of your heart, you understand the correlation between where Memorial Day and where the sacrifice of Jesus Christ line up. You understand it was his great sacrifice on the cross that provided our freedoms as Christians today. We get to call him Lord and Savior. Today we observe that in many ways. We have already had a moment of silence for our men and women who have passed away serving our great country. And today, as we observe these elements, called the bread represents the body of Christ, and these little vials of grape juice represents the blood of Christ. And so that we can do great memory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. This is a solemn moment. It's not a moment that's created to be so heavy that you can't observe it. Matter of fact, the strange thing is, even though we're talking about the death of someone named Jesus Christ, we mingle with it the word celebration. For sometimes we forget that when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible says that he endured the pain of the cross because of the joy of what that cross would secure. In other words, your freedom. Every great patriot that I've ever been introduced to, whether it's through story or personally, you just see this thread that goes through the common story, and that is that They never saw what they did as extremely significant. But the reason they did it is more than significant. They did it. They served. They left home. They joined up. They participated so that you and I could be free. I've never felt my freedom threatened. I've never worried about a foreign country coming to our shores and taking over our country. But it's the enemy within that I think we have to be worried about. And see, today we can sit in churches all over America, but what we need to be worried about is what Satan is doing on the inside. What he tempts us to do, to dishonor God, to think that it's no big deal. That today is just another day that you go to church, you sit in the pew, and the preacher preaches, and we pray and you leave. But the impact is for you. Everything that Jesus did on the cross was for you. So as we pass out these emblems today, I just encourage you to embrace them as a personal gift from the Lord Jesus Christ to you. His body and His blood. His body and His blood. I've never had somebody have to sacrifice immediately in front of me. And what I mean by that, I've never had anybody that's ever been injured or wounded because they were keeping me safe. So I don't feel that threat. I don't have that story. But I do know there was one day when I realized I needed a Savior. I needed God. I needed Jesus Christ. That I realized that I had really taken my life in the wrong direction. And I needed a Savior. And there it was, right in the middle of the story, the Bible story, the great sacrifices of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him today, I'm going to ask that you would just bow your heads and close your eyes with me in just a second. If you don't know Him, if you'd like to know Him, I'm not going to ask you to respond physically. In other words, coming to the altar or raising your hands. But I would like to just pray a prayer with you. If it's been a long time since you've known Jesus, or you've never known Him ever, and today for some reason, in the midst of all that we are talking, and this person you've never heard, maybe the church you've never been in, but you realize that there's a Savior, and His name is Jesus Christ, and you feel His love and His compassion. You know of His sacrifice, and you'd like to receive that. Then I'd like you to just pray this prayer with me. You don't have to pray it out loud. Just pray it within your own voice. It goes like this. Say, Jesus, I know today that I need You. I know that I'm a sinner, and I need to be forgiven. I need to be free. I call my own shots, but the reality is I'm not free at all. Sin has bound me. My life is not what it ought to be. And I desire to be free today. I desire desperately to be loosened, to be set free. I want to be able to call You Lord and Savior. So I pray today, forgive me, receive me, cleanse me of my sins, and be my Savior. And I can promise you, if you pray that prayer, it doesn't have to be perfect. You didn't have to get every word right. Jesus knows your heart, and He's listening. But in the next few moments, as we take these emblems, they represent the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. First time I was ever at communion, I was a little confused on that, but then I began to realize, you know what? What was so important is that Jesus had to die. That means His body had to experience death. The Bible says that He needed to be buried, but He rose again. It also says that His blood was shed so that my sins could be forgiven. And that's what this is all about, and that's why we hold these emblems together. So at this point, is there anyone that has not been served? Memorial Day, tomorrow, an opportunity for us to recognize all of those who have sacrificed on behalf of our great country. Today, our spiritual Memorial Day, when we get to honor the memory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who sacrificed everything so that we could be free and call Him ours. Paul put it this way in the Bible. He says, I've received of the Lord that which I delivered unto you. And the Lord, on the same night in which He betrayed, He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it. He said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this, and there's that word again, in remembrance of me. Father, in the name of Jesus, in just a moment, we are going to take this piece of bread that represents the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to consume it, Lord God. And we understand that when we do symbolically, we are absolutely remembering. We're being reminded of the great sacrifice. But it's not just that, it's also the great benefit. What you secured through that sacrifice, our lives could be free. We could be set free. We could be alive again. We don't have to be slaves to the life that we've lived. We could be someone who loves you and loves others. Our lives could be changed because of what you did for us. And for that, we remember and we are thankful. Now bless this to our bodies in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take it together. In verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "In the same manner he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it,' there again, in remembrance of me." As we bring this to our lips and as we consume it, we have to be reminded there's a miracle that takes place. It's not a physical miracle. This doesn't turn into something other than just what it is. It's grape juice. It goes into our system. But the miracle is a spiritual miracle. It's what God does in our hearts. He encourages. You know, there's many times that I've heard people taking communion. They needed healing and God healed them in that moment. God secured their future in that moment. God gave them hope when they didn't have hope. This isn't about a physical thing only. This is about what God can do. And guess what? God can do anything. Whatever your need is, as we take this, I would just encourage you to present it to God. Regardless of what it is, no matter how big or how small, give it to Him. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for the blood that you shed on Calvary so that this moment could be secure in my life. I pray, Father, your blessing on this symbol of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's consume it. Praise your name, Lord Jesus. Amen. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in this one last worship song, and then we're going to be dismissed. Can I just wish you a fabulous Memorial Day weekend? I'll say all the common sense things. Be safe, use your head, be careful. But whatever you do, don't erase Sunday for the sake of Monday. Don't erase whatever thing that God did in your heart, the thought, things that He put in your heart today, for the sake of a fabulous holiday. Amen.